So we're going to be in the book of Job for a couple of weeks. And you know the beginning of the story, but Job's patience is legendary, right? Have you ever heard that expression? Well, you've got the patience of Job. Even someone who's never read the Bible knows that expression. He had the patience to just sit and wait for God to act in his life. He just sat quietly and waited for God to show up and explain himself, right? Or did he? This morning's reading from the 23rd chapter would tell us otherwise. I mean, dang, if Job couldn't be patient, how does God expect us to be patient? Tell me if you can relate to this story more than you can the story of Job, about Job's patience. A man was watching a woman in the grocery store with a 3-year-old girl in the seat of the cart. And as they pass the cookie section, the kid says, "Mom, can we get cookies?" And the mom says, "No." And what does the kid do? She immediately begins to throw a fit. And the mother says, "Now, Ellen, we just have half the aisles left in the store. Just hang on. It'll be okay." Well, he passed the mother a little bit later in the store, in the candy aisle. And of course, the little girl began to shout for candy. When she was told she couldn't have any, she began to cry and carry on. And the mom says, "There, there, Ellen, don't cry. Only 2 more aisles to go and we'll be done." Well, the man again happened to be behind this mother and daughter at the checkout, where the little girl immediately began to reach for the gum and the candy that's right there at the checkout. How convenient, right? And she throws this terrible tantrum when the mother tells her no. And the mother patiently says, "Ellen, we'll be through this checkout in 5 minutes. Then you can go home and have a nice nap." Well, the man followed them out to the parking lot and stopped the woman to compliment her. And he says, "I couldn't help noticing how patient you were with Ellen." And the mother breaks in, "Ellen? I'm Ellen. The girl's name is Tammy. Get lost." Patience. Something that's in short supply these days. I know my patience has worn pretty thin in general. But when it comes to me waiting for God to act, when I know how I think he should act, then I have no patience at all. I want prayer answered ASAP. Don't you? No questions. After all, I have faith and I want it rewarded immediately. Know what I mean? But talk about a fool's venture. There's no power on earth that can pressure God to do what God doesn't want to do. That's just the way it is. Here in chapter 23, Job lays out his complaint to God and calls God out, but he has this sense that it's falling on deaf ears. Now, you recall the outline of Job's story. He's an upright, blameless, God-fearing man. Then Satan challenges God, saying that Job is so well-behaved only because things are going well for him and because God is taking good care of him. So God permits Satan to heap great troubles on Job, the loss of his property and goods, the death of his children, and then he gets sores to top it all off from head to toe, oozing painful sores, crowning glory. Now, at the other end of the story, all things are restored to Job, but our reading today is from the middle, when Job's deep in his pitiful phase and bitter about what's gone on in his life. And to make matters worse, Job's friends have been sitting there comforting him, insisting that he must have done something wrong for so much trouble to have come upon him. And they've been urging him to confess his sins and repent. Job knows he's innocent and views his calamities as injustice. And he says, "Today my complaint is bitter, and God's hand is heavy despite my groaning." You ever been in that position? "Lord, what did I do to deserve this?" whatever the this happens to be. And Job's next statement makes it clear that there's nowhere that you can go to lodge a complaint against God. He says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." But Job concludes, there is no better business bureau to complain to when it comes to God. Well, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that God was letting you down and you had nowhere to complain and nowhere to turn to? The 20th century poet W.H. Auden once said that our dominant experience of God today is of God's absence, of his distance. And I think that's true for a lot of us, certainly at some points in our life. So in that regard, Job is someone we can really identify with. I know all too often in my life that I feel the way Job does. And it can be way too easy to get stuck in that holding pattern of why me, God? And too easy to forget the rest of the story. And there's so much more to the story of Job that we need to know. It's easy to identify all too well with the story of Job's suffering and forget the backstory. We forget that we know more about Job's situation than he does. All Job knows is that in spite of being upright and faithful, terrible troubles just keep coming his way. He has no idea why. And when he complains and hears nothing in response, he can only assume one, that God doesn't care to answer, or perhaps that God isn't even listening to begin with. Anyone ever feel that way? Wow, that's a hard one to come to. But we've heard the beginning of Job's story. We know about the conversation between God and Satan, and that God has agreed to allow Job to be tested. But Job doesn't know that. And that means that what may seem like a silent and uncaring God to Job may really be God's way of seeing if Job, or us for that matter, are willing and engaged enough to have the faith to ask God the tough questions and still trust. And that's what Job ultimately does. Even though he's filled with that sense of injustice and that God will not give him a fair hearing to plead his case, he doesn't lose his faith. And eventually he receives a response from God that meets his need. See, in the end, Job's story is a faith story. And while we're more likely to believe of faith as a belief in God that goes beyond evidence and reason, Job's story challenges that. From his point of view, he has to learn to trust God in opposition to the evidence of his life. Judging from the evidence, he would be tempted to think that there is no God, or that God hates him, or that God's evil. But oddly enough, despite all of the testing, and his faith is sorely tested, it survives without supporting evidence. Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's his response to his wife when she says to him to just curse God and die. Even despite some very good reasons to believe that there is no God, Job insists on believing, on holding to faith, and demanding his day in court, no matter what may come of it. I think that God respects that stance, don't you? It's just that from the place where Job was standing, he couldn't see any evidence for faith. He was going through a long, dark tunnel where his prayer life seemed to be all but dried up. Know what I mean? Yet in the bigger picture of his life, in what he had seen and heard and felt before all the troubles came upon him, and what he would see and hear and feel later, he found and would find again that faith can still endure, even when we're in some of the deepest and darkest valleys of our lives. Faith is all we have to keep us going. And in those times, The writer of Hebrews says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes we think of faith as something we have to feel deep inside and that it has to be there all the time. But Job's story suggests that it's more something we hold on to even when it seems so far away. Believing in God isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling, as it is the ability to find meaning and purpose in the hard times and the troubling times when no evidence for keeping the faith can be found. You ever walk through those days in your life when there's no evidence to keep the faith? I think that the message of this passage from Job is not just about believing that in the darkest of valleys faith is there, but holding on to faith anytime, and especially when we can't see the way forward. And while any of us may go through painful experiences that try our faith, they're faith trying. Anne Lamott is a writer and single mother living in California, and she and her son's father split up back when she was still pregnant with her son. And for several years, there was no contact between the adults and none between the boy, her son Sam, and his father. By the time he was 7, he began to wonder about his father and what kind of a man he was. And eventually, Sam said he wanted to see his father, but Anne had no idea where he was or how to find him. But she agreed to help her son. Well, her initial efforts were unsuccessful, but she began to notice that her son Sam had begun praying for his father every night. And that's when Anne began to complain to God. And she said, would it have been too much to give my child an answer? She prayed accusingly. Anyone ever pray accusingly? Accusingly? Ooh, don't answer that. That's inside conversation. Just like Job, she seemed to be getting nowhere. She tried every way she could to find the Father, but nothing worked. Have you ever prayed accusingly? It's okay. God can handle it. I think that God prefers honesty in prayer than denial. And then she recalled a statement she had heard somewhere that says, it gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born. And remembering that, she said, I decided to practice radical hope. Hope in the face of not having a clue. I decided that God was not off doing the dishes while her son sought help. God heard his prayers and was working on it. Well, where was the evidence for that? At that moment in their life, there was no evidence. Well, as it turns out, she did ultimately find Sam's dad. And there was a meeting, and they see one another periodically. But there was a point in that search for her that it took faith and nothing but faith to keep trying, to keep believing that God was engaged and that God was listening. And that's where many of us find ourselves, needing faith to keep trying. And that's where the story of Job comes in, to let us look behind the scenes. Because we need a glimpse behind the scenes sometimes, don't we? To see and hear those inner workings of God and to help us remember that even when it seems least like it, that God is lovingly and deeply engaged in our lives and that God is urging us into deeper water where our faith can deepen as well. But wow. Wants to go into deep water. It's scary enough when it's here. I don't need more, right? But that's where faith deepens. It's painful. But the rewards and the benefits of wading in deeply are amazing. Just ask Job. Amen.